Love Talk Radio.
This thing right here, is for my people in the streets.
Yes, today.
Welcome to RSG, One Mic. We had another week in this podcast, and you know, even before the show, we had a lot of energy on it, so I'm expecting us to have a great show today. Always go to realsportsguys.com if you want to check out what's going on. I personally just dropped a new podcast called The Delivery. You can catch it on Spotify and other platforms, just continuing the RSG movement. It was a gift to myself for my birthday. I just wanted to do something to kind of bring a different perspective to continue to sprawl what we're doing here in RSG. You know, we got boxing moment here with my man Darnell, who you'll meet in a minute. We got Inside the Park with Hammer and Hank that's going there. We got Hustle and Flow with Sekou and Marcus. We got the big show with myself, Marcus, and Phil. We got a lot going on RSG, and it's just good to see it flowing. And we got another show that we're going to hit some really good stuff here. But before I get into the open mic and Cypher, you know, I got to bring my co-host into the building. What's up, Big Man? Big Bang Hank. What's up, man?
Hey, not much, man. It's always good to see you fellas and have another opportunity to just be able to converse and fellowship and talk to you all about things and kind of get stuff off your chest, you know. But just to see the brothers sitting up here and just being able to be with you guys, it's a pleasure, you know. So all good.
Good to see you. Good to see you. We got our man from Chi-Town's Finest up in here. Yeah, what's up, Hammer? How you doing? Carl Hemp.
I'm doing well, brothers, and good to be back. I had a commitment last week, but ready to have a great time with the brothers, yeah.
All right. And then we got our man, the youngin'. You know, it sounded like they started some football here. My man, Darnell Kirkland Jr. Man, what's up? How you doing, man?
I'm just about to get into it, man. Christmas is coming early. Like, to be honest with you, man, I'm in a good mood now. Oh, I just can't wait to get back to it.
And you're going to be, obviously, y'all coaching. And, you know, so much of the conversation has been about professional leagues and even college leagues. And I think we almost forgot about youth sports, high school sports, obviously the game of football. What are some of the things that y'all have to adjust here? And, you know, as you're dealing with this kind of new situation with the COVID-19 and, you know, what has that done to change things for you guys in terms of football?
Well, for right now, you got to realize, of course, in taking safety precautions, there's going to be a lot of kind of protocols and stuff that we're going to have to adhere to at this time before you know, they get relaxed. They envision, like, in the future, things should be relaxed, and they have to because we're playing football. And if you are worried about being 6 feet away from people, you can't really play football. You know, the huddle's not 6 feet, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just going to read you off a couple things. So no more than 100 people in a workout, which is pretty much obvious. But maintain 6 feet of social distance at all times, no physical contact, no hugs, high fives, fist bumps are not allowed. Face coverings. All coaches are encouraged to wear a mask during workouts. Athletes are permitted to wear masks, but will be monitored closely during high intensity activity. But pretty much you can wear a mask as like one of the players, but you can't tell them to take it off, obviously, because, you know, for safety reasons. But, you know, when you're running hard and we're going to be doing conditioning. So, like, you might not want to wear a mask while you're running 350s because you're going to be tired, you're going to be hard to breathe. So you already know how that goes. But one thing I want to dig into was the equipment. Like, all routes have to be on air, right? So we could, so as skilled players, you can't throw the ball, you can have passing sessions, stuff like that. But no defense, just routes on air. But as far as a lineman point of view, we're not allowed to use equipment like, you know, blocking sleds, hand shields, stuff like that. But so pretty much what we're going to do like irregular agilities, you know, footwork, technique, work on the stance and start, you know, the fundamentals of the game. Just non-contact pretty much.
So did they send flags along with that, with those recommendations? Did they send y'all a whole bunch of flags along with that? You know,
I didn't even get to the wildest part about this.
What's no bathroom. The wildest part, man?
No bathroom.
What?
They said no. They're taking the porta potty. So you can't. So pretty much, just you. When you go, if any of my kids listen to this, use the bathroom before you come to practice. Don't be over here talking about I gotta go number two.
I can't imagine that.
Wow.
Well, y'all got some challenges up for y'all. You know, the thing about it, coaches are creative. Y'all got some challenges, man. I saw that Under Armour came up with a mask they're trying to have for athletes to be able to breathe. And I know they're working on a couple of masks. So I know a number of these, they're going to figure out, given that this is going to be a new space. I can imagine, you know, you see some of those workout masks where people have like the mask on and they're working on training.
Yeah, the altitude mask when they got the
altitude mask. They might adjust that so that it makes it easier but you know, it's innovation is going to come out of this. But I already see Under Armour trying to work on something as well. Well, you keep us posted on what's going on.
Oh yeah, one thing I didn't mention: we are going to be doing the screenings. Like, listen to this. Yes, we're doing screenings. We will have temperature checks for everybody coming in, so we can make sure we can get a handle on, you know, make sure people aren't coming in there that are already sick, you know what I'm saying? So just to make it a little bit safer.
And these protocols are just right now for the, like, training camp and kind of getting ready. At some point, obviously, you're going to have to put pads on and hit people because y'all can't have a season. So, but this is like trying to get everybody initially into training and getting ready, given that, you know, y'all have had so much limited opportunity to connect with these young folks up until this point. Okay. Wow. All right. Well, we'll keep up on what's going on the ground. You are our face on the ground with the high school coaching. You know, you practice physical distancing as well. Make sure you have your mask on until we get to all clear with this. I look forward to hearing and seeing how the season goes with the young men that you're working with. All right, we're going to go into open mic. And most recently, our open mic has really been themed around power to the people. You know, the movement's happening, so we just always want to make sure we're checking in on it. And the NFL, Nike, Twitter, everybody's made some pledges of money to initiatives that support the Black community. You know, corporate folks are coming out their bag, you know, in these tough economic times. They're saying a lot around what they plan on investing in and as part of this response, you know, even though we had another terrible death of another individual in Atlanta.
Murder.
I'll let it go right there. And so we got this backdrop happening, but we have these corporate structures investing in it. It kind of got me thinking, you know, that I was hearing Charlamagne Tha God talk a little bit about this, you know, that, you know, policy over pandering, you know, and, you know, we have statements. We have money, but do we have real movement? You see in corporate America rally around a little bit. And I want to make sure I get space for everybody. I'll start with you, Hammer, then give me a quick response and I'm gonna pivot. You know, what's been your initial response to the way in which the corporate America has kind of pivoted to find ways or demonstrate their ways of support?
It's not authentic. They're just bandwagons. That's all they're doing right now. Mm-hmm. The money needs to be given to ways that change public policy and deal with the institutions that foster institutional racism that's been going on for 400 years. And you're not gonna change 400 years of racism with 20 days of marching, with all due respect. So the bottom line is that MJ gave some money and things like that. It's just giant come lately. Everyone's trying to protect their brand right now because they want to look woke. So I'm not impressed. And people who, you know, are naive enough to think that this has just come about, the George Floyd's. I mean, we only know about George Floyd because there was a cell phone. There have been plenty of George Floyd's who died of something else, or you probably heard of a brother in Palmdale was hanging from a tree. They said it was suicide. Mm-hmm. So I'm not impressed at all with NFL, it's reactionary instead of being proactive. And that's the problem with this country from top to bottom is we only react. We're not proactive. We're not innovative. We're not strategic. And so therefore, you know, and I'm not talking about we as black people because, you know, again, we as black people have been systematically undermined for 400 years. I'm talking about the powers that be that could change things are not. And some millions of dollars into social justice initiatives that show Anquan Boldin trying to do something, you know, great in the hood, I'm not impressed with all due respect. So, I mean, I'm sorry, maybe I'm skeptical. I was talking to a friend of mine today and a white woman, just blunt, who has a black child, and she was talking about all the great things. I'm just like, yeah, but has something changed as far as systematically in the past 20 days? And it was crickets. Mic drop.
There you go.
Because,
all right, Hank. Yeah. Let me get Hank in here. Hank, talk to me. What do you think? I mean, Hammer's making some really good points here.
I amplify everything he's saying. It's window dressing. Okay, you have to understand that unless you got some real staunch policy changes, and then not just policy changes, but policy enforcement. Okay, we always talk about we want to have this, we want to defund the police. But who's going to enforce these new policy changes? You know, are they going to find loopholes to keep doing what they've been doing? You know, it's not lost on me either that George Floyd had three beautiful. Funeral services, memorial services, beautiful. But he's not even in the ground good. And another brother dies the same way. Another brother gets killed at Wendy's. You got stuff that's still going on. So what's that say? That says that ain't nothing really changed. So if, all you want to do, if you want to detract by pulling down racist statues of Confederate officers, if you want to start saying we're going to ban the Confederate flag and all these different things, and oh, by the way, we was wrong not to kneel, and from now on, we gonna kneel at the national anthem. All that stuff is window dressing. Because what it does is it takes your eyes off, it takes your focus off of what really needs to be done. Those policy changes, policy enforcement. Who's gonna have the balls to enforce policy changes? You know, to bring them up and then to bring them through. All right, and you're absolutely right. Hammer said it, we've been protesting, but you go back into the 60s, you were protesting. You go back into the 50s, they were protesting, okay? And guess what? The same people who they wanna now try to laud as people who did these things. You want to give them all the credit, the Martin Luther Kings, the Medgar Evers, the Malcolm X's. You killed them too. So see, my thing is, I don't want to hear none of the foolishness. You know, actions speak louder than words. And these actions that they're doing is protests. That's always been done. But see, no protest has been done has ever been good enough. You know, Rosa Parks sat at the bus. You didn't like that. You had the Alabama boycott. They didn't like that. You had you had Colin Kaepernick kneeling. You didn't like that neither. Okay, you got Black Lives Matter. You don't like that. But when brothers are steady getting shot and killed, it's quiet. So it's all window dressing to me.
Young, and Darnell, I'm gonna let you bring it home. I mean, you're a generation that consumes a lot of this stuff. Is developed around a lot of where they project your consumer behavior is gonna go. You know, a lot of these folks are responding to your generation of folks. You know, how do you see this? Do you see this as a small step forward? What do you see?
Well, I can see both sides. Well, there is a, to put it this way, there is a storm that's out there, like a storm of outrage, a storm with the protests, the riots, burning this, burning that. And a lot of people are trying to save face, you know, trying to quickly change their positions to avoid the storm, to avoid like the bad press that's gonna be on them if they don't stand up. So I agree with Hammer and with Hank talking about a lot of these guys are really just, you know, they're putting on a front to protect themselves. But some of these things they do, I believe it is small progress. It's not real progress. Like the Confederate statues, they shouldn't be there. Like Confederate flag, like all these slave owners that have statues and stuff out there, they should not be celebrated. Their statues should come down. I mean, I do agree with that. But at the same time, we do need solid policy changes. The police should police their own areas, right? Maybe we should not have police officers coming from 20 minutes out of town or something like that, 20, 30 minutes out of town, coming into a police department and policing people that they don't know. And we do need solid policy change. And what we do not need is Nancy Pelosi and them kneeling down and Kente Koff looking like, do you remember the time? No.
Nancy trying to get that vote, yo. Nancy trying to get that vote.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, keep that Youngin just sang on the show. All right. y'all missed the whole point. Forget the noise. Youngin just cut a tune on the show. Y'all need to mark this right here, right now. I knew he could play instrument, but I didn't know you had pipes, bruh. Bring it on home. Bring it on home. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wow, I'm about to go into a praise break.
That might have been the moment for us for a long time. Darnell brought that one home. He brought that at home. It's the setup for the cipher, because I think you know, our cipher, I'm always believe, you know, change is going to come. And, you know, we saw several different things happening in different ways over the past week. You know, you see LeBron beginning to organize on trying to address voter suppression and voter rights. You have NASCAR, which we mentioned, banning the Confederate flag. You have even Kyrie lead whatever revolution he think he's gonna lead, because the world is flat. He lead a revolution against something with the NFL. I'm still trying to figure out his point, but he's still leading it. You got Kyrie doing what he's doing as well in terms of the issues that he's trying to bring. Everybody's trying to find their lane. You got
Kyrie's a different cat. That's
we'll get to Kyrie. You got Clemson renames the Honors College. This is something that was named after a former vice president, Calhoun, who was a slave owner. They named that. You hear the Texas athletes are going out for big changes. And I actually know the faculty members who are probably working with them over there in Texas, because I've been down there at UT Austin. They've been doing some things on the ground, but they put some big changes down there as well. Lot going on when we think about just people trying to find a way to make change, whether it's on their campus, whether it's in their sport, whether it's in their community, and whether it's national types of platforms people are trying to push. And, you know, Hank said something interesting, because you hear people talk about policy, but then he's also talking about policy enforcement, which is a whole other piece. Like, you can change things, but then you have to enforce it. You know, one of the things that Bubba Wallace or someone was talking about, even with the Confederate flags, people are like, well, are they really going to enforce that? And NASCAR has enforced a whole bunch of stuff effectively, where they basically flying over infields, and if they see some things that they don't like, point them out. I mean, they've been pretty big on, but the enforcement part is key. One thing to say, you're going to have a policy, another enforcement, I think. So you've added a layer in there. But maybe I want each of you maybe to talk about maybe, you know, one thing you think athletes, wherever they are, can do effectively around policies. Hank, why don't we start with you, then I'll go to Darnell, and then we'll go to Hammond.
Well, here's the thing. I think that athletes and entertainers need to really, when we start talking about policy enforcement, I think they need to band together a little bit better than what they did and what they've been doing. I look at what happened with Colin Kaepernick, and what happened to Colin Kaepernick to me is inexcusable, because they knew what his issue was. Okay, we've talked about it on this show ad nauseum. We knew what his issue was, but everybody was too worried about their own pocketbook to say, you know what, we're gonna take a stand, because this could be my brother, this could be my sister getting killed in her own home. Okay, and then nobody did anything because it did not affect them. Let's keep things in perspective here. The reason why the George Floyd issue became a big issue because people were able to witness it. Why? Because people were sheltered in place in a lot of places. And when they decided to came out, white people, black people, everybody saw this injustice that they hadn't seen before. And then it started to steamroll after that. So you start asking athletes, what can y'all do? So now all of a sudden, how long has it been since Colin Kaepernick has been blackballed? 2 years, 3 years now?
Four years.
So now all of a sudden, you've got people saying, oh yeah, now I'm going to kneel. But they didn't do that until the commissioner came out and said it was wrong. Okay, the commissioner came out and said it was wrong to stop that protest. So see, it's still disingenuous. Okay, so if you're asking me what can they do, they need to be genuine in whatever it is that they're going to do. They need to be real about it. And I just don't think that they're going to allow their pocketbooks to allow them to be that real. They saw what happened to Colin Kaepernick. They saw that anybody that takes a stand out there, try to be a trailblazer. And I guess that's what I'm asking to do. Can y'all be trailblazers? If y'all can't be trailblazers, then shut up. Because being a trailblazer is going to cost you something. And see, you start talking, as long as it's safe, for a lot of these athletes and entertainers, they go ahead and do what they do. They're not going to go out there by themselves. Colin did. God bless him. He stood out there by himself. But the rest of these guys are not going to do that. But then they need to get together and they need to caucus. Okay? And now they got to have the balls enough to caucus and say, okay, we're going to go as a group, athletes united, entertainers united, and we're going to stay with this thing. And we're going to explain what it is we're fighting for all the time. We're going to keep it in your face. And you can't be out there trying to do, if you're going to do it that way, that's the way you're going to have to do it. Otherwise, just shut up. Because if you got just as many people falling on the, I don't want to kneel because I'm a patriot. It ain't got nothing to do with patriotism. We're talking about the flag, okay, versus people talking, no, we're talking about police brutality. You got to come down on the same side, okay? I like what they did with Drew Brees. They all said, you're wrong. And that has to happen all the time. But this is 2020, folks. It's taken this long to get to this point, and we still ain't even close. We haven't even scratched the surface. So that's where I'm at with it.
So I mean, when I'm looking at what you're saying, I mean, I think one of the challenges, really quick, and I'll move to Darnell, is that I always said that when Colin kneeled, if they really want to make an issue of it, all the black players in the league,
they could have
played on a Sunday.
That's right.
Like, just don't show up.
Exactly. Like
they're not going to give up their money.
But they weren't going to hurt their own purpose. They weren't going to hurt their own.
That's real change. That's if you're going down, that's real change. Right?
Exactly. Now, see, here's the thing, too, Darnell. Devon, let me say this. You got a players' union, okay? And see, if you just got a regular workers' union, okay, the UAW or somewhere like that, everything goes for every other member. Now, I know that's different in professional sports because they've got individual contracts. But see, you could go to your union and say, we need protections, but we're going to protect this brother and his rights because his rights is my rights. You see? Mm-hmm. But they didn't do that. That's why this is so disingenuous. That's what frustrates me about this. They have a platform that they could protect, that they could use if they chose to unite and they chose not to because it's all about me.
There you go. All right, Darnell. If there's one thing you think folks can do as athletes, what are some of those things that you think they can do to push the causes or something that could be expanded?
I think as far as athletes go, there's two directions they can go with it, right? They could, as we know, they have platforms. They have, a lot of these guys have millions and millions of people that follow them, that look up to them and stuff like that, right? So they can either decide to play and use their platform on the field of play to make a stand. You know, they can use the interviews, they can use that kind of stuff to apply pressure to bring about change as far as they can apply pressure as far as keeping everything, the cause, in the forefront, right? And on the other hand, they can do what Kyrie is saying. They could say that, okay, you guys want basketball as a distraction, right? So, but this is not a time for a distraction. We do not need to be distracted. So what they can say is they can put pressure in a financial sense. They can put pressure in a sense of like, okay, until the needs that we want, until our agenda is met, we will not come back. and they could go about it that way as well. So I think it's twofold. And I think we got to be centralized. They got to be centralized, but there's two ways they can go with it.
All right, those are really good points. I love the direction you put it out there. Hammer, our policy guy on the group.
Athlete student union. That's what they need. Athletes need to be considered as student workers, not as this craziness as far as amateur athletes, all this mess. So, and then it's power in numbers. If you have all these athletes that come together in a union, they'll be able to put pressure as far as getting rid of some of these crazy NCAA rules where you can't have cream cheese with bagels and punishing Chase Young for bringing his girlfriend to a football game. I mean, these are ridiculous. Other students can do whatever, all the things they want to do. And because of this, the phoniness as far as we're trying to protect the integrity of the sport, I mean, let's get real. We know, again, not to cast aspersions on anybody, we know that the game's not clean. Come on. And if the Zion case gets litigated for a long time, which I doubt, I think they're going to settle it for a lot of reasons, we're going to see that we already saw with the scandal with the chairperson and the brother Christian Dawkins. We know the game is not real. Stop playing games with these young men and give them their proper value. And the way you do that is you unionize, you come together, and you build power in numbers. But until you want to be your own self and be your own brand, they're going to pick you apart, and they're going to, again, put you against your other brother. Because you have to be Zion, but, you know, if you blow your knee out, you might be Ion. They don't care about you anymore. So, I mean, that's the bottom line, is that brothers need to understand their power and power in numbers, and also get the proper protocols for COVID. You know, you saw this week where Houston shut down. University of Houston shut down because of this is a serious thing, this disease. And again, everyone tries to isolate this virus to, you know, the elderly, and no, young children. We don't know about this virus. We learn new things about this deadly virus every day. We know one thing about this virus is coming after you. And so there needs to be protections. And I'm glad Brother Darnell set it up as far as talking about what they're doing on the high school level. What are they doing on the college level? I mean, I want to hear the protocols they're doing on the college level, especially dealing with young Black men who, you know, sadly have histories of medical problems, their genetics problems as far as pre-existing conditions. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, and I think these are all really good points that y'all put out. And I'll close this segment before we go to drop the mic with Hank, with saying that y'all made some really good points. And I think there are two areas, at least, I think that at all levels, athletes can do. And this fits in something that Hammer, we've been texting back and forth on, given what LeBron is. I think over the next few months that there could be a coalition of athletes from high school or voting level, even high school though, with their parents, all the way through around organizing around voting, addressing issues around voting and voting suppression, that athletes can play a critical role. The second thing is that I think they need to take what Jim Brown did with the kind of economic summit that he did in Cleveland and create a national summit where athletes are. And there's been a number of, if you look at Black Lives Matter platform, there's some economic strategies that people put up. There's many different strategies out here. Hammer knows, as someone who's been involved, there's a lot of strategies out there. What we haven't had is a coalition to execute some of these strategies. But I think with the power that some of these athletes have across many sports, and it's a multicultural coalition of athletes who would get around here, but a true economic summit that could then be leveraged with what I think the NBA coaches are trying to do with impacting some of their cities, where all these cities, where all these teams, particularly major sports, really start to implement some of those strategies locally. But having some type of way and strategies in which folks create, which it will be the platform that will be part of the political platform. I think more now than ever that we have the ability to create that space, and not just with athletes, but I think entertainers. I know Puff has had the Revolt Conference. You've had a lot of platforms, so folks know how to organize these things, the summit. But I think to be able to organize and have a clear agenda that can be pushed out. But the first thing is around voting. I think that all of these athletes can play an important role in galvanizing our vote at all levels here in November. So I think there's a lot of great ideas here. I think y'all have shared some things that, you know, our goal here is just to kind of tease people's minds and we can kind of push some things out. We're going to continue this conversation because, you know, change is going to come. We are at a point of pushing it, but we got to push the right levers. And it's got to be, you know, policy over pandering. We got to have action, and people need to be judged by their deeds, not what they say. And that's across all political spectrums. Are you, you know, when I hear things like from NASCAR, people like Blue Lives Matter, that tells me what side you on, because this is not about Blue Lives Not Mattering. That's never been in question. That's never been in question from policy, from resources and money. That's never been in question. You know, when you look at how much money is going into each of these agencies, that's never been in question. So that has never been an issue for a lot of us. But when we hear that, that means that that's a counter dialogue that people are pushing out there to get away from the true issues. And so I hope that we keep pushing. We're going to push our friends who are athletes out there to keep doing it. All of us who have a role in this. We look forward to continue to dive into these issues with y'all. And I'll leave it over to my brother to drop the mic, my man Hank.
Thank you, D. Now, what I want to do is I want to lighten the mood a little bit today. We've been really on these topics, and we've been on them heavy. But my brother Hammer over there kind of reminded me of something. He said off air that he had just celebrated 30 years out of high school, which got me to thinking, okay, 30 years ago. What happened 30 years ago? On this date, June 14th, 30 years ago. Oh yeah, that's right. The Bad Boy Detroit Pistons won their second championship. Yeah, I'm bringing this one up. Because see, this was the year where it was supposed to be the Jordan and the Bulls was supposed to go. Hammer, you remember this, but maybe not. You was a young. You
no,
was
I remember. Young. No, I was okay. 18, bro.
Okay. No. So
I ain't that young. I look young because I got no hair, but I'm old. Okay.
All right. But the thing is about it was that team that they played in the finals was the Portland Trailblazers. Y'all remember the Trailblazers? They had players like Kevin Duckworth. They had players like Jerome Kersey. They had players like Terry Crawford. They had the great Clyde the Glide Drexler. This was supposed to have been the team to unseat that Pistons team. I want to remind you that this was back to doing a 2-3-2 format of the NBA, where they had the two games at home of the team, and then three on the road, and then two more. Well, the first two games were split in Detroit, okay? Portland won the first one. Detroit won the second one. And Detroit had just come off of that grueling series against the Bulls. Took seven games. And then the Trailblazers said, Kevin Duckworth says, oh, we're not coming back to Detroit. We're not coming back to Detroit. We got three games in Portland. We're not coming back to Detroit. And they didn't, because Detroit won all three games. And why today is so significant? Because we always hear about the Isaiah, because if anybody watched Last Dance, you know about Isaiah, you know about Joe Dumars, you know about Bill Laimbeer, but nobody knows about the microwave. Yes, the microwave. Little known player who they got from Seattle named Vinnie Johnson. And what Vinnie Johnson did on that day, on this day, with 0-0-7, left on the clock, all known as 007. He drains a shot from the corner, which puts the Bad Boys back on top of the NBA Valhalla. They were champions. And then after that came the Last Dance and the Bulls. But I just wanted to let you know that on this day, June 14th, 1990, 30 years ago, 007 Vinnie Johnson won the NBA championship for the Detroit Pistons Bad Boys. And that is to drop the mic for the night, a little bit of history to kind of let you go and wax nostalgic. Okay? So y'all have a good night. Stay safe out there. Peace. Yeah, yeah, it's for my people in the streets.
Yes, yes, yes. Today,
Long Coast Radio.
This one mic. Phoenix is another place. They got a great training staff. I mean, they were able to breathe life back into Shaq. And you can do that. I mean, people talk a lot about